You're listening to Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. Up next, our video pick of the week with Flora Lichtman joining us. Hi, welcome, Flora.
Hi, Ira.
We've got a special.
It's a holiday edition.
It's a holiday edition. Of course, the holiday is
Father's Day, and that's news you can use. Everybody write it down. It's Sunday.
That's Father's Day. Don't go running out to the, you know, supermarket or store or wherever you're getting to buy something, because we have
an alternative idea for maybe how you would spend Father's Day. We were thinking, you know, what could you do this Father's Day that wouldn't necessarily be the same old barbecue.
Right.
But, you know, not that I like barbecues.
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right? They're okay. But maybe there's another angle here. And so we scoured the literature and came up with this book called Geek Dad, Awesomely Geeky Projects and Activities for Dads and Kids to Share. And it's filled with all these cool projects. And so we decided for Video Pick of the Week that we would demonstrate one of the projects in the book.
So that you could do something with your dad and not just create something for that day, but a lasting memory.
Yeah,
that's the gift
memory.
You can create this project in the book and create a lasting memory that, depending on which way it goes, you may never forget.
Right. So the project we did was an eye in the sky camera. So basically take, you know, 25 or more helium balloons and attach a digital video camera to it, a little one.
Like a little flip phone or something.
Like a flip camera. Right. But I think any still camera would probably work on the video setting, and let it up on a kite string. And we did it from my roof in Brooklyn.
And that's your video pick of the week is the documentary, so to speak.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
You actually, how many balloons did you get?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny. So Ken says to get something like 12, but we ended up needing a few more than that.
Mm-hmm. And Ken Denmead is the author of the book.
Is the author of the book, right? And you know, maybe we should bring him on to ask him about this point. So Ken Denmead is the author of Geek Dad, and he's also the editor of the blog geekdad.com. Hey, Ken.
Hey there. Great to be here.
Yeah, welcome to Science Friday. Are you a full-time book writer?
I am not. I am actually a civil engineer here in the San Francisco, San Jose Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. So, Ken, I wanted to ask you, because when we did this project, we used a bunch of balloons, and then we actually had to go back to Party City. I think maybe because I miscalculated the weight of the camera. I don't want to really pin this on you. But
you should ask your previous guest. I think the buoyancy calculations are a tricky thing.
How far did you get your camera in the sky to go up?
I got mine, unfortunately, when I did my major test, it was kind of a breezy day. I think I got about 150 feet up before it started to threaten going over neighboring apartment buildings and getting lost in the trees. So I believe it's possible. I think, you know, it took me some very significant fine-tuning. You know, I actually took the camera. I took, you know, and put it on a scale, figuring out how much that weighed. And the flip cameras are very, very lightweight. There may be a difference between those and using, you know, one of your little PowerShot type of cameras that may have a heavier battery system in them. Mm. And when we're talking ounces here, and that can make a difference between 12, 16, 18 normal balloons. I have also had a great suggestion made to me. Our sort of mentor at Geek Dad was Chris Anderson, the editor of Wired magazine, and he's big into small blimps too, and he always suggests using the Mylar balloons because they're even lighter than the the plastic ones
without any kids crawling into them, of course. We don't want to recreate that experiment.
Well, that didn't really happen.
Didn't really happen. So we made the, and it's on our video pick of the week. You can see Flora in Brooklyn with her balloons. And one thing I noticed from watching this up on our website at sciencefriday.com, you can see this, is that you have to have a favorable wind. I noticed, Ken, on this thing.
Buoyancy and wind and drag are all concepts that you might want to think about before. This project is really good for a very still day.
Right, we had some downdraft issues. Like the camera got sort of sucked into the backyard of my neighbors a few times. It was a little bit scary, but the footage was really cool. I mean, I thought it would seem definitely
great.
Worth it.
Yeah, it was great. And in fact, I always wanted to do this since I was a kid. When I was a kid, the Scientific American had all these amateur scientist projects and other popular mechanics. And one thing they had was putting a camera in a little rocket. I don't know if you're old enough, Ken, to remember those days. But to put it in a little homemade rocket and you shoot it up, it goes 150 feet and then it comes down on a parachute. This is a much better idea.
This one's a little bit safer if you want to get that camera back. And honestly, I was inspired by all these stories we hear of the college teams sending up weather balloons into near space, and I was just I'm in awe of those, but I was trying to come up with something that was a little less ambitious.
And your book is Geek Dad, Awesomely Geeky Projects and Activities for Dads and Kids to Share. Now, Flora, you and I were talking about geek is overused now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a post-geek. I think geek has gotten a little chic, I would say.
We may be rounding the corner on it.
Yeah.
I will freely admit.
It's a little bit cool.
Well, what else could we call it? I mean,
we were thinking, you know, maybe there's another word. Maybe
a better post-geek word.
A post-geek word, right. So we came up with a couple just sitting around. What do you think about egghead?
Yeah.
No.
No, what? It's an old word. We need a new word.
I like
no
one sort of classic.
Yeah, you like a classic?
What about Poindexter? I think the problem with geek is that it's been co-opted by people who didn't have to go through the sort of awkward phase. They didn't earn the term. What do you think, Ken?
Right. I totally agree. I think to a certain extent, the hipsters have co-opted some of the geek culture and... So we're seeing a dilution of the purity of those of us who suffered through taunting and teasing when we were, playing Dungeons and Dragons at recess rather than kickball, or when we were playing kickball, we were actually getting hit with the balls.
Yeah, people are jumping on the bandwagon. Doesn't seem right.
Maybe we should ask our listener.
That's a good idea.
For some advice, if you have an idea of a post geek era name, we're going to retire the geek idea. I mean, we're all geeks here. What should we?
I don't know. It's going to cause me a lot of rebranding.
Well, you could just have another edition of your book come out. What would be a good name? Maybe 1-800-989-8255. Maybe right here. If you have a good idea for a geek name, or if you have an idea for how you might have bonded with your father.
Yeah.
And what kind of, project you made, give us a call or an idea for, because you don't have to do this just on Father's Day, these projects.
No, it seems like a good time to think about, the types of things that, Father's Day seems like a good excuse to think about the types of projects you did with your dad. Maybe backyard science or something. Actually, Ira, do you have any memory?
My bonding with my dad?
Yeah.
I'm going to reveal a secret I have never said before, and it's not what you think it is. My father was a great, how shall I put this, fixer of toilets. I have seen and fixed as many toilets. You know how the mechanisms inside toilets, they go bad. You pull up the lid. You got to replace all that stuff. My father was an expert at doing this, and I sort of cloned that talent from him. And even today, there's not a hotel that I don't go into that there's not a leaky toilet in the room that I can't get into and fix it. And I wind up fixing a lot of people.
It's a very useful skill.
I bonded with my father with, because he'd go in and he'd say, "We don't have the part for this. Let's epoxy it or something." He'd fix it with what we had in the basement, stuff that
you
we
You learned
had
to hack your toilets.
I hacked my toilet.
What about you, Ken? Is your dad the inspiration for Geek Dad, the book?
There's a lot of that there. My dad was an engineer as well, and the big projects we would end up doing was he was a lover or is a lover of old English automobiles, sports cars and the like, and we worked on various different MGs and Morris Minors and Triumphs over the years. So there was everything I know about the inside of a car I know from my dad.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. So you need to put that in your geek book next. Some sort of geeky project. Let's see if we have a caller here. Let's go to Russell in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Russell.
Hello.
Hi there.
I think I probably qualify as America's oldest geeky dad because having built the first programmable computer in America at the National Bureau of Standards in 1950, by 1957, I made the world's first digital image, which was my son when he was born. And that image I made out of square pixels, which, of course, has survived to this day until just recently I decided we could improve on that. And so my son had to wait 53 years for his father to fix his pixels. And in the current issue of the Journal of Research of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, there are pictures of my son today with these variable-shaped pixels, which are much better. And as a result, he now has the opportunity, in his capacity as the communications person at Intel Corporation, to be able to make photographs much better than anyone that his father or anybody else has made in the past half century by using this new notion of variable-shaped pixels.
Russell, I feel like I'm playing What's My Line here. You have to tell us who you are so our whole audience knows of your infamy.
Well, I was one of the designers of the SEAC computer at the National Bureau of Standards in 1950, which enabled us to do things that nobody else could do because we had the only computer that was workable in America. And, of course, starting the field of digital imaging was one of the things that we did in 1957. And so to this day, my son has been living with these lousy square pixels. And he just recently had the opportunity to improve on that at the age of 53.
There you go.
So there's an opportunity for geeky dads to help their sons do better.
All right, we'll put you down as America's oldest geek dad then.
Very good.
Say. Thanks a lot, and have a good Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
Take care. 1-800-998-2255.
Ken, there's so many good projects in this book, and they all seem sort of pretty accessible. But what's your top pick of the projects?
Well, it's a combination. Yeah, it's like they're your kids, so it's hard to pick them out. One that we've had great success. We've done a few sort of convention type things and tried this out with the kids, and it's really easy and fun to do, and they get a blast out of it. I call it Lego Demolition Derby, and you take those inexpensive remote control cars that you can get at any store. If you're going to do two of them, you got to make sure they're on different frequencies, so
right. Mm-hmm.
You're not controlling one of them or both of them with one remote. But so you take flat Lego plates, you know, the flat, not the bricks, but the flat pieces that you usually build stuff off of, and you maybe hot glue them or two sided tape them to the sides and the front and the back of the car, and then each kid gets one car. Maybe you build yourself some kind of arena. I like to duct tape pool noodles to the floor in a big circle, you know, the foam pool noodles. And each kid gets 30 Lego bricks of an individual color for each one of them. And then they get, they put them all on their car, you know, and you make them into, I don't know, big hammers, or you make them into armor or whatever they want on the front and the sides of the car. And then you put them in the arena of doom. And they have a demolition derby.
Maybe play some thrash, some hardcore music, rock in the background, make some
absolutely.
Nachos.
There
you go.
We're talking about geeky projects for Father's Day this hour on Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flater with Flora Lichtman and with Ken Denmead, author of Geek Dad Awesomely Geeky Projects and Activities for Dads and Kids to Share. 1-800-998-2255. Let's see if we have time for a phone call to, is it Lee in Palo Alto?
Hi, name's Lee in Palo Alto. I've enjoyed listening to the show, and wanted to say a great geeky dad kid thing to do is ham radio. I did it with my dad, now I do it with my kids.
It's still around.
It is still around. It's actually growing, and there's all sorts of fun things to do, from digital keyboarding to satellites to bouncing signals off the moon to building your own stuff. It fits great with the DIY movement, and I think it's experiencing a resurgence.
Ken, I wanted to ask you that, you know, this is called Geek Dad, but what about those moms out there? What about the geek moms?
You know, I will admit that having you know, come into the blog and then to the book, I'm a little bit cursed by that branding to an extent, because you know what we've really see all throughout the geek culture is that it's not just guys. There are so many women geeks. And there are geek moms out there. In fact, we've got moms writing for Geek Dad right now, and helping to represent that voice. And it, you know, there's always been this sort of dichotomy of people thinking that, you know, girls don't like math or science, but it's so not true. And there are lots of them, and they need to have that voice too. And Yeah, you know what? Maybe someday there will be a geek mom.
Well, you know, maybe we can change that when we change the name of the word geek. We can bring women into it. So if you have, I mentioned this before, you have an idea to upgrade the word from geek to something else, go to our webpage at sciencefriday.com and leave your suggestions there. We're going to try to collect all these suggestions. You can tweet us, you know, or you can send us an email about what would be better than geek, and then we can bring in women and men as
Poindextress. I can't let it go.
If you come up with a really good answer, let me know first so I can get the URL. All right.
All right. We have to say, well, it's as good, you know, because now we have some homework for the weekend, and it's a great holiday weekend, so we can say goodbye and thank you for taking time to be with us today, Ken.
Oh, thank you. It was great to be here.
And have a great holiday weekend to you.
Happy Father's Day, Ken.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Ken Denmead is the author of Geek Dad, Awesomely Geeky Projects and Activities for Dads and Kids to Share. He's also the editor of the blog geekdad.com. So our program is produced by Chris Fantagliati, senior producer Annette Heiss. Charles Berkowitz is our director. Flora Lichtman is our multimedia editor. Alice Ubayak is our Spanish language producer. And Catherine Wells, our Sci Arts producer. Neil Rausch at the controls, our technical director here in New York. We want to have special thanks to Synthar. You hear that music? That's the band who generously supplies their musical talent to our show, and you're listening to them now. And if you missed any part of our program, surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Leave your post-geeky names suggestion there. You can see our video pick of the week down there, and you maybe try making that camera. That would be great to try making that camera yourself. But send us pictures. If you have you'll see the video pick of the week is Flora doing her own version of that. If you do it and you want to share that with us, send us the video of you making that geeky camera that's floating in the balloons above wherever you live, and we'll put it up on our website. Also, we can love to hear from your Twitters, and we have the iPhone app. You can download and put Science Friday in your pocket. So have a great and safe holiday weekend. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.